Hello, friends, and welcome to Grits and the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and this is the fifth Sunday in Pentecost. Oh, my goodness. This is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and I am excited to join you today. It's going to be a great message. As always, I have loved this Lenten study that we're in, and this time of year is so renewing and hopeful. And I hope that you feel that in your own life. Let us come together today in a posture of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. The scripture lesson for the day, the epistle lesson, is from the book of Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verses 5 through 10. Hear now the words written in the book of Hebrews. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us say together the Apostles' Creed with new ears today, paying close attention to those words that remind us of the Lenten season. Friends, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, in this Lenten season, we come together for a time of renewal. We have worked to put to death the things that separate us from you during this time. Heal us so that we may then rise up and bear fruit for your kingdom. We pray now for healing, for being made whole, for the joy and the life that comes from salvation in Christ. Hear us now as we pray those words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 33. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, in Galilee and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls on the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he would die. The word of God for us, the Lenten people of God. Thanks be to God. I love my Kindle, but I cannot currently find my Kindle. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm determined that it is somewhere. It has to be, right? It's been gone for so long that I just need to surrender and get a new one. But I know. I am so sure that once I buy a new one, the old one will show up. I am so stubborn that I will spend more money on actual books instead of just letting the old Kindle go, hoping it will show up. I have to let it die metaphorically, because the battery is long dead, before I can be prepared to start anew. It feels kind of like the wheat on the earth. The wheat has to die. It has to let go of its life so the seeds can reach the ground, and then it will grow and bear fruit. That's where we meet our Greek friends in the scripture today. We don't hear much about Philip in the scripture, but he is central to the story today. Philip was Greek, and so likely the only one of the disciples who could translate for the group of people that had come to question Jesus. So imagine, everything that Jesus was saying to those gathered was done through the interpretation of Philip. He was known for his skepticism, but I think that makes him perfect for this situation. Jesus not only gets to minister to the people who are speaking Greek, but he also gets to do it through Philip. Kind of two birds, one stone. And the message he gives them is pretty amazing. It's not something you want to hear as a potential believer. Think about how that message was received by the people who are not familiar with the concept of eternal life in Christ. I'm sure it was a hard sell for the disciples. "Hey guys, Jesus says you have to die to live." Wait, what? That does not go well on a pamphlet or a website. The polling data on death shows that no one wants to talk about dying. And here Philip was, translating it from Aramaic to Greek. And I'm sure there was a look on his face. "You want me to tell them what now?" The original side eye. But that's what this Lenten season has been about, right? Letting things die that get in the way of our relationship with God. It's not just about giving things up, it's about letting things go. Jesus may have been trying again to tell them about his own death in these verses. However, it is those things in our own lives that need to die, that need to be healed, that need to be pruned, that we are left to focus on in our own faith. Jesus' death makes the death and resurrection of our own selves possible. Now my own soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No! It is this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd may have thought that day that it was thunder and not the voice of God, but Jesus was quick to remind them. This voice said these words to help you understand it. When we cry out in pain, when we need healing, when we are hurt and come to the Father, God will reply. These verses this week remind me of my grandmother. Shocking, right? She loved to work in the yard. She would have rather worked in the yard than almost anything else in her life. She found peace in making things grow. As I've said many times, that gene totally missed me. But I always helped her when she asked, which she rarely did. About once a year, Gogi would give her bushes what we like to call a good Gogi trim. I would go to her house and all the bushes would be down to nubs. No green left in sight. Pruned back to almost nothing. Every bush in the yard looked dead. Gogi knew. She had faith, even when I tried to give her the side eye for it, that the bushes would all come back. And not only would they come back, they would be greener and thicker and healthier than before. Jesus knew. Philip translated and told the Greek people that day that the death of the wheat was just the beginning. It was not the end. A more fruitful and beautiful life awaited those who stepped out in faith and allowed the death of their old selves so the new person could be healed and grow in faith. Sometimes that death feels like actual death. Sometimes it means physical pain that needs healing. Sometimes it means worry that we have been carrying around that is causing pain in our spirits. I love what our scripture from Hebrew tells us today. Starting in verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal life for all who obey him. The suffering made him perfect. Hear that again. The suffering led to the perfection of Jesus. And because of that suffering, because God let part of himself die, because of the wheat dying so the seed could be planted, life and life abundant can grow. Growth is hard. It was hard for the disciples to hear Jesus, their friend and teacher, talk this way about his suffering and death. It was hard for Peter in the scripture we read a couple of weeks ago. It was hard for Philip to not just hear the words, but have to translate it for the crowd that day. I'm sure that even though he is, was, and always will be God, that it was very hard to watch his son, a living, breathing part of him, die. But that death is the only thing that can bring healing and life. Gogi was right. Every year, those bushes came back with a vengeance. Every year, they were fuller and healthier after they looked like they were dead as a doornail. And I need to let my old Kindle die. I need to bite the bullet and get a new one. Reading for pleasure brings me joy, and I cannot get that joy as easily without it. I need to quit being so stubborn and just let the thing go. And of course, Jesus was right. The disciples had to let him die to become more fruitful. Peter, after his protesting, became the rock and the foundation of the church. That seems pretty fruitful to me. Philip, through his skepticism, encourages Jesus to speak of his divinity in several ways in the book of John. After the death of Jesus, he goes out to preach throughout the known world. That seems pretty fruitful to me. We have to be healed and let things die in our own life to bear the fruit that Jesus is dying for us to have. Our object for the week in our Lenten study is oil. There is great healing power in the anointing with oil. It is a symbol of the true healing we have in Christ. Through this Lenten season, we have worked to let things die. And today, you will be given an opportunity to be anointed with oil to help things heal. Make no mistake, all healing comes from God. I am not a healer or a doctor or a miracle worker. The healing oil that you will be offered today is not a magic cure for what ails you. Our discipleship ministry's information says it best. This act is a tangible expression of the presence of the healing Christ, working in and through those who minister in his name. For my congregation, they will be offered the healing touch of oil on their hands or their forehead, just like they come forth to receive communion, and just like they came forth a few weeks ago to receive ashes. The oil they will be given is a symbol of the healing power of Jesus that was only made possible because of his death and resurrection. I hope that you have your own moments of healing this week as you work through this season of Lent. That you have worked to let things die that keep you from God and keep you from being fruitful. And that today you will find the healing power of Jesus for yourself. Amen. In life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.